Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 9, Chapter 19. King Ayati achieves liberation. Text number 20. Drishtam Shrutam Asad Bhutva Nanu Dhyayanas Sandishat Samsritim Chatma Nasham Cha Tatra Vidvan Sa Atmadrik Drishtam Shrutam Asad Bhutva Nanu Dhyayanas Sandishat Samsritim Chatma Nasham Cha Tatra Vidvan Sa Atmadrik. Samsritim Chatmana Shamcha Tatra Vedvan Sat Madrik Trishtam Shutam Asad Bhutva Nanu Dhyayana Sandishet Samsritim Jatmana Shamcha Tatra Vidvan Sat Madrik Drishva Shutam Asad Bhutva Nanu Dhyayana Sandrishet Samsritim Jatmana Shamcha Tatra Vidvan Sat Madrik. Ladies. Drishtam Shutam Tsarasabhutva Nanudhyayana Sandishet Samsritim Jatmana Shamcha Tatra Vidvan Sat Madrik Drishtam Shutam Asad Bhutva Nanu Dhyayana Sandishet Samsritim Jatmana Shamcha Tatra Vidvam Sat Madrik Drishtam Shutam Asad Bhutva Nanu Dhyayana Sandishet Samsritim Chatmana Shamscha Tatra Vidvan Sat Madrik Drishtam. The material enjoyment we experience in our present life. Shutam. Material enjoyment as promised to the fruit of workers for future happiness, either in this life or in the next, in the heavenly planets, and so on. I knew you all had a good memory, that's why. Asat, all temporary and bad. Bhutva, knowing. Na, not. Anudhyayat. Anudhyayat. One should even think of. Na, nor. Sandishet. Should actually enjoy. Samsritim. Prolongation of material existence. Cha and Atmanasham, forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. Cha as well as Tatra and such a subject matter. Vidvan, one who is completely aware. Saha, such a person. Atmadrik, a self-realized soul. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who knows that material happiness, whether good or bad, in this life or in the next, on this planet or on the heavenly planets, is temporary and useless, and that an intelligent person should not try to enjoy or even think of such things, is a knower of the self. Such a self-realized person knows quite well that material happiness is the very cause of continued material existence and forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. Purport. The living entity is his spiritual soul, and the material body is his encagement. This is the beginning of spiritual understanding. Deno smita dehe komarm yovanam jara tatad hantra praptir diryastatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul simply passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2:13. The real mission of human life is to get free from encagement in the material body. Therefore, Krishna descends to teach the conditioned souls about spiritual realization and how to become free from material bondage. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. The word dharmasya glani means pollution of one's existence. Our existence is now polluted, and it must be purified. Sattvam vishuddhayat. The human life is meant for this purification, not for thinking of happiness in terms of the external body, which is the cause of material bondage. Therefore, in this verse, Marjayati advises that whatever material happiness we see, and whatever is promised for enjoyment is all merely flickering and temporary. Abrahma bhuvanaloka punarvartanojana. Even if one is promoted to Brahmaloka, if one is not freed from material bondage, one must return to this planet, Earth, and continue in the miserable condition of material existence. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. One should always keep this understanding in mind, so as not to be allured by any kind of sense enjoyment in this life or in the next. One who is fully aware of this truth is self-realized, sa-atma-drik. But aside from him, everyone suffers in the cycle of birth and death, mrityu samsaravartmani. This understanding is one of true intelligence. And anything contrary to this is but a cause of unhappiness. Krishna bhakta nishkam ate shanta. Only a Krishna conscious person knows the aim and object of life is peaceful. All others, whether karmis, jnanis, or yogis, are restless and cannot enjoy real peace. So the text again. Drishtam shutam asad bhutva nanudhyayana sandishat sam sritim chatmana shamcha tatra vidvamsa atmadrik. One who knows that material happiness, whether good or bad, in this life or in the next, on this planet or in the heavenly planets, is temporary and useless, an intelligent person should not try to enjoy or even think of such things, is a knower of the self. Such a self-realized person knows quite well that material happiness is the very cause of continued material existence and forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatyade Siddharane. When I first joined the movement, there were only three books at that time. We had the three volumes of Srila Prabhupada's originally Srimad Bhagavatams. And they were in a form which was not perfect English, not always so easy to understand. And at the same time, we had classes three times a week at the university. I was going to the University of Buffalo. The classes were on the Bhagavad Gita, and they were given by, generally either by Burjan Puru or Rupanuga. And they only had one verse, because there was no Bhagavad Gita. So they had one verse, and only the translation, no purport. And the one verse was, Deinos minita dehe, kamaram yovanam jara, tata dahantara praptir, diyas tatra namuyati. So three times a week we heard that verse, and that was it. That was the whole basis of the class. So after a few months, I was wondering if there was anything more to the philosophy, because I thought I had already understood that verse. But then I had the experience when I went to see Prabhupada for the first time in New Vrindavan. Actually, Prabhupada came to Buffalo before that, but in the beginning of 1969, I was going with Jagadish. At that time it was, Jagadish, and Bhakta Bill, Bhaktin Irina, Irene, who later on became Krishna Bhamani and Bhagavan Das. We went to New Vrindavan to see Srila Prabhupada. And when we got there, I discovered that New Vrindavan was as Prabhupada told me, when we got out of the car, we had to walk to the New Vrindavan because there was no road. All there was a swamp between the car and New Vrindavan. And at that time, we didn't have any other shoes except for what's called tongs. So I'd put one foot into the mud and my tongue got stuck. I was trying to get a little bit like Karna, his wheel got stuck. He was trying to pull it out. So after 3 hours of going half a kilometer, trying to get to New Vrindavan, we finally got up to where the temple was. And it wasn't exactly a temple, it was a shack. It was formerly a farmhouse. And upstairs was Srila Prabhupada, so Bhakta Bill and myself went upstairs to see Prabhupada. And there was just barely enough room for his bed in the attic. He was sitting on top of the bed. And Bhakta Bill and myself were sitting at the front of the bed, and Prabhupada looked at me and smiled, big smile, and said, "So, how do you like our jungle?" So we spent 4 or 5 days at the jungle.
Right.
Bhagavan Das, Bhakta Bill became Bhagavan Das, and Irene became Krishna Bhamani Devi Dasi, and they got married. And Lavangalatik and Jagadish and myself, we got second initiation. But during that time, it was really a jungle. There was no place to sleep except in the temple room and on the floor. And at the same time, if you wanted to take a shower, they had to go down a hill, a muddy hill. And when you went down the muddy hill, you got into this kind of like a little bit like a pond. You took a shower and you climbed up the muddy hill. You were dirty by the time you got back up than when you went down. So after 4 or 5 days like that, and Prabhupada was lecturing, and he mentioned that we're not this body, and then finally I realized, wow, that's amazing. I'm not this body. I wonder why I never heard it before. 4 days in New Vrindavan, you realize you're not your body at that time. So although we can hear it again and again, that simple philosophy, but Krishna speaks half the Bhagavad Gita to try to give us the understanding, at least theoretically, the difference between ourselves and the body. In the 18th chapter, he goes through the whole summary of Bhagavad Gita up to the point where he goes, Buddhya Vishuddhya Yukto Jidatmana Niyamya Cha Shabda Dim Vishayan Tyaktva Ragadveshu Vidasya Cha Vivikta Desha Lagvasi Yatava Kaya Manasa Dhyani Yoga Puro Nityam Vairaga Samupashvitya Ahankara Valam Darpam Kama Krodha Purigraham Vimucha Nirma Shanto Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. I'm sure you all understand the Sanskrit, so I don't have to translate it. But for those who don't know all of it, Buddha, with intelligence, Vishuddhaya, purified one's intelligence, by purified intelligence. Buddha Vishuddhaya Yukto, by connection with devotional service. Jidatman, one who controls his senses. Niyamyacha, who's always regulated. Vivikta Desha Lagvasi, who's always living in a sacred place, etc. There's a lot of qualifications that are necessary to come to the next verse. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Lavate Param. To come to this platform of Nishta, steadiness on the spiritual platform, means that one has to give up all hankering and lamentation. Probably some of us, we might notice that once in a while, though not very often, hopefully, we hanker for things or we're lamenting. Sometimes we might even be in a little anxiety over something material. But one who's on the, to get to the Brahma Bhuta platform, one has to become completely free from all this hankering, all this lamentation. The first class I ever directly heard Prabhupada gave, the first thing he said is that in the material world we only do two things. In case you're thinking you're doing three, but we only do two things. We're only hankering for what we don't have and lamenting over what we lost. That's the material existence. And if we don't hanker and we're not lamenting, then we're on the spiritual platform. That's called conquering the mind. Of course, what are we hankering for? Generally, we're hankering for things in relation to this body. Because the body, in our conception of life, in the material concept of life, the body is a great hero. The body is a hero, and we're watching our hero perform its pastimes, or heroine, depending on what kind of body you have. And we're rooting it on. We hope that this body is going to be successful in its endeavor to conquer the material nature and find a ever blissful position here that goes on and on forever and ever, theoretically, till we die, of course. So we're cheering on this body. Sometimes we think we're gaining something. Sometimes we think we're losing something. And we're always disturbed if we lose something, and we're excited when we think we're going to gain something. So that's called material consciousness. To get free from that, there is karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga. There are so many different processes. most of which, of course, we can't practice. But then again, there is bhakti yoga. But bhakti yoga doesn't mean that I simply chant and then automatically I get free. There's not some kind of magic. The chanting automatically makes me free. No, we have to learn how to chant. And what is the mood of chanting? What is the mood of existence, actually? If we're chanting and we start noticing we're in anxiety, hankering, lamenting, or whatever form of consciousness we're under, then the chanting won't be very much effective because we're not very much receptive to the holy name. So part of the Hare Krishna movement is to teach us how to become receptive, how to develop in consciousness a vision of existence so that when we're chanting, we can actually chant and be happy, free from this anxiety that material nature is constantly encouraging us to be under. And sometimes we may even become a little free from anxiety because we forget what we were in anxiety about. But of course, Maya immediately reminds us. As I mentioned before, one time I went to Boston with the devotees from Buffalo. We went to New York first and we did a Harinam there, which was on the cover of Back to Godhead. Didn't take much to get on the cover of Back to Godhead back then. And then we went to Buffalo to see Prabhupada there. Not Buffalo, to Boston to see the new BBT, the press there. And we were doing bhajan upstairs. Prabhupada arrived and he was walking up. And as soon as Prabhupada walked up the steps, the whole room turned into Vaikuntha. And I couldn't remember what I was in anxiety about. I remembered I was in anxiety about. Because it was so blissful being in Prabhupada's presence. Prabhupada spoke on the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. There was the arti, the Gaur arti. And so around an hour and a half later, Prabhupada left. And then I remembered what I was in anxiety about again. It all came back. So the nature of the material existence is that we're always in anxiety. Giriraj Maharaj was walking on the beach in Bombay with Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada made a philosophical point. And Giriraj Maharaj said, "Thank you, Prabhupada, for that insight that before I was in Maya." And Prabhupada started to chuckle, and he said, "You were in Maya." He said, "You're always in Maya." That's our existence here in the material consciousness. We're always in Maya. And then sometimes we may think we're out of Maya to a very small extent. But we take it as a great advancement that practically I'm in Vrindavan with Krishna and I can almost hear his flute. But to actually become receptive to the holy name, to come to the platform where we're on the platform of Nishtha, means we have to completely give up the material concept of life. And generally speaking, if we think we can do it easily, then we have no idea how difficult it really is to give it up. How bhavanam janmanam ante, gyanamam prapadyate, vasudeva sarvam iti, Sura Mahatma Sudurlabaha. After many births and deaths, one who is in knowledge surrenders it to me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a person is very rare. So in one sense, it can be very discouraging, and Prabhupada we can see that he tried not to discourage us. Devotees would ask him, "Prabhupada, can we become Krishna conscious in this very life?" And Prabhupada would gave different answers, but generally he was encouraging, saying, "Yes, if you're 90% pure," and he looked at the devotees, they're all morose. And he said 80%, and they were still morose. 70%, there was a little flicker there, but not much. And then Prabhupada said, well, just chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds and follow the principles, and then I guarantee you'll go back to Gaudiya. Jai Prabhupada! So Prabhupada had to try to be encouraging, and we should be encouraged, because very shortly, if we do follow the principles, chant Hare Krishna, japa regularly, and try to spread Krishna consciousness, we will become Krishna conscious. But we should understand, it's not like an automatic thing. It has to do with our own personal sincerity, our own personal conviction of trying to understand what is the process, not only physically, externally, but also emotionally, mentally, intellectually. What is the process by hearing, and then try to fit our existence into that process. And as much as we try to do it, then as much as Krishna reveals himself to us, then we can see a little bit more clearly how to fit our existence into that process. And then it becomes more and more clear to us that actually these activities of the body, these activities of the mind, these activities of our intellect, they're really not our activities. They're the activities of either the spiritual nature being directed by Krishna, by his internal energy, or the activities of the external energy being directed by Mahamaya. So either we're surrendering to one or the other. And as we try to fit our activities fit our desires into the proper activities with the body, mind, and words, then the result is it becomes clearer and clearer to us how nimitra matram bhava savasachin, we can just become an instrument. We can just take shelter of Krishna, be under the internal energy, and experience and realize who we actually are and who everyone else and everything else is. And the perfect example is Srila Prabhupada, how he was so compassionate, how he, practically nothing got in his way of trying to help others become Krishna conscious. It didn't seem to matter practically what some of his leaders did sometimes. He'd always gave them unlimited mercy. He was always quite tolerant and always saw his objective is somehow or another try to keep these devotees engaged in devotional service. So that transcendental vision that here in the material world we think we're gaining something or we think we're losing something or we think someone's taking something away from us or is giving something to us, is all forgotten when one actually comes to the spiritual platform and sees the real value of things. Or as Krishna says, jnana vijnana chiptatma kutastha vijitendriha yukti kshate yogi samalostras makankshanha. That person is said to be situated in transcendence and is called a yogi when he's fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, is the same. So Prabhupada was able to exhibit how to see everything equally, and at the same time understand the value of utilizing things in Krishna's service. And then Krishna says, Sarin mitya udasina madhyasu dveshu bandishu sadushpapi supapeshu samabhudir vishishite. Person is said to be even further advanced when he sees the honest, the well-wisher, the friends, the enemies, the indifferent, the impartial, those who are sinful and pious. He sees them all with an equal vision. So whether it's that equal vision, everyone is Krishna's servant. Everyone here is wasting their time in their dream of material existence. And we only have one purpose of life, is to help everyone we come in contact with, to help them wake up. And if we do that, then Krishna will wake us up. As much as we try to help others wake up, to that extent, Krishna will wake us up. To whatever extent we're trying to help others to wake up from their dreamlike state of Krishna consciousness, to that extent, we become Krishna's instrument. Therefore, before we do anything, before we say anything, before we think anything, or even if we have thought something, we should correct our thoughts with our intelligence so that we're in line with Krishna's mission. The more we do that, the more we become an instrument, then the more we become conscious of Krishna. Then the more the holy name will have its effect. Other than that, we may try in so many different ways, but unless we're in line with the orders of Krishna coming into the Supreme Succession, which are the same as Krishna's instructions, we may try so many things, material things, this improvement, that improvement, whatever improvement we may try, but unless we're in line with the orders of Krishna coming down through the Supreme Succession, there won't be any spiritual improvement. We may get great health. We may even die in a very healthy state We may die rich. We may die poor. We may die, you know, whatever we may accumulate or progress in this material world. But unless we're in line with Krishna's mission, we won't go really anywhere from the spiritual point of view. So here it says we're not the body. We should understand that. And then understand what not only that we're not the body, but we're a soul. And not only what the soul is, but what the activities of the soul are. The actual real activities of the soul are. So when the soul begins performing activities, desiring to serve Krishna, desiring to utilize his body, his mind, his words, in Krishna's service, then Krishna takes over, and one becomes free from all illusion, and then one actually becomes prasannatma, joyful, jolly all the time, like Srila Prabhupada. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
I think that's what you said.
We become like what?
The more you try to wake other people up, proportionally, you become awakened.
Yeah.
So I just want to know a reference for that.
Prabhupada wrote to me one time. He was telling me how many. He wrote to me in a letter about how many. I won't go over the whole letter, but he mentioned that in New York, in just 2 weeks, they distributed 3,000 Bhakti Godheads. And in Buffalo, I heard that you're also distributing Bhakti Godhead very nicely. So please continue in this way. And your success in life is assured. As Krishna sees that you're trying to help bring his other children back to the spiritual kingdom, he'll bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you so much for a nice class, Maharaj. I had a question. You had mentioned that you mentioned that Prabhupada said that we're only doing two things in this material world, and this hankering and lamenting. But then you had mentioned that if one is not hankering or lamenting, that is something to do with being on the spiritual platform.
Yeah, he's liberated.
Well, okay, so
liberation doesn't mean you're Krishna conscious fully, but at least you're on the spiritual platform.
So, what about like a Mayavadi? Is that still spiritual?
Well, as it says, bhukti karmi, mukti bhukti siddhakami akalaya shanta. So they're also hankering. They're hankering to become God. So they're asanta. But Krishna says, jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita chitoshna sukadukeshu tatamana pamanayo. One who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached because he has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, all the same. So one who has actually learned tolerance by fixing the mind on Krishna, that's the only way of actually becoming free from all this hankering and lamentation.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. It was nice to be here. In New Dwarka, it's always a pleasure to come here and see the enthusiastic devotees and how nicely the deities are, as Savasaru was going over yesterday, how many wonderful things are going on here in terms of the restaurant, the deity worship, the book distribution, and the life membership, and it goes on and on and on. So I feel blessed by being here, and I look forward to having your association again. Thank you very much. Karantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.